Everybody, it's been a while since I've been up here. I know what you're thinking. When you see me on the DVD and video clips, I look taller in the car. Hey, there you go. There we go. If you, we continue in our series on Ephesians. So if you'd like to turn to or turn on your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Starting at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who worked all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. I don't know what sort of films you like. One of the one of my favourite films, and I come back to, is the Bourne films, Jason Bourne. And I just love those films. They're action-packed. There's that four in the series, but you discount one because one didn't have Matt Damon in, so that's not a real film. And I don't want to do spoilers, but if you haven't seen these films, basically this guy is trying to find out who he is. Is he Jason Bourne or is he David Webb? And he's asking the question, who am I? And even when he's being chased through like Paris or Berlin by the army, the police, he's got half an arm hanging off because he's been shot. He keeps going because he's wanting to know, who am I? He's trying to find out his identity. He's trying to find out who he is. Whatever it takes, whatever trouble he finds himself in, he is determined. My name's John. By trade, I'm a youth worker. My name is John. I was born in Derby, grew up in Derby. My name's John. I am a fan of Derby County FC. Most people think it's Derby County nil. My name is John. I'm a husband to Liz. I'm a father to Beth, Abby, and Joel. My name's John. I work for British Youth for Christ as their local ministry senior manager for the north of England, Scotland and Wales and a bit of Gloucestershire and on occasion London. I don't have a business card. I have an envelope. My name is John. I've got an MA. I hide it well, don't I? My name is John. I'm a child of a king. My name is John. I'm a child of a king. I have a great inheritance that is reserved for me, that cannot be spoiled or destroyed and will not perish away. My name is John. I'm a child of a king. And who are you? Well, for those in Christ, those who believe, you're my brothers and my sisters. Your family. Sorry. Wow. Sometimes we just need to kind of be reminded of who we are. We are children of God. Wow. When we feel bad about ourselves, we can look in the mirror and we can look at ourselves and think, I'm a child of a king. Sorry, thanks for turning up. Who am I? I'm called by Jesus the Son. I'm loved by God the Father. I'm kept by the Holy Spirit. I'm adopted. I have a status and a legal identity. I'm adopted as a child of God. I am blessed with all the spiritual blessings and inheritance and authority given to Jesus. I'm chosen, I'm affirmed, I'm equipped, I'm empowered, I'm resourced. Blessed with all those spiritual blessings. And I guess sometimes we can chase after relational blessings and physical blessings and emotional blessings and financial blessings, and we think that's how we are blessed. But actually they're secondary. And if they don't point us to being blessed and praise God, then they're not blessings. The real blessing, the real spiritual blessings are those things that we inherit. What's our inheritance? What is the good news? Because of Jesus is in death, we have spiritual blessings. Can we move on? Great. And. You're getting a whistle stop. You go back in. Great. Back one. Paul reminds us of this choice that we have, that our position in Christ. We are chosen, verse 4. We are predestined, verse 5. We are accepted, verse 6. We are redeemed, verse 7. We are informed that the mysteries of God's will have been revealed to us. We get a snapshot of who God is. All right, mate. It's all right. So I'll wait. We are heirs to the promise. See you later. We are heirs to the promise, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because Paul declares what God has done for us before demanding that we do anything for him. And let's look at the context of Ephesians. It's in two halves. The first three chapters are kind of, we can see it as the gospel story. And the next three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, are kind of our story. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, it's kind of doctrinal, it's doctrine. It's the believer's wealth in Christ. Whereas 4, 5, and 6 are the practical believer's walk in Christ, the wealth and the walk. We can ask the question throughout this book, what's happened to you, what your authority is, and you've got the backing of a king. Through this letter, God tells us what is expected of us. Where Acts is the picture of the church, Ephesians is the theory of the church. It was written when as a prisoner in Rome, Paul's intention appears to be to strengthen the Ephesians in the faith, to emphasize and glorify the love of God, to proclaim the dignity and excellence of Jesus. And he shows that they were saved, and that however wretched they once were, now they had privileges, equal privileges with the Jews. He encourages them to persevere in their Christian calling, urging them to walk in a manner that becoming of their profession, faithfully discharging the general and common duties of religion and special duties of particular relations. Paul didn't just deal with war against heresy. Rather, the letter intends to inform believers who they were in Christ, of all that was available to them. The importance of oneness in the body. It is a discipleship epistle. He desired a strong faith from them, that they would grow in confidence and boldness and achieve victory. Verse 9, the revelation of his will. To be chosen, predestined, have redemption. Verse 4 talks about being chosen in him before the world. Predestination, adopted as sons for his glory. You know what? Everyone has a conversion story. I've got one, and you've got one. It's all different. But it all starts with being thought about by God before the beginning of time. We are chosen to be holy. We are chosen to be holy, created to be and set apart and devoted to Him. And this particular passage of chapter 1, these few verses, talks about those spiritual blessings. It talks about those spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus. And you can do it A to Z. It's quite a good task. We're adopted. We're blessed. We're chosen. We're devoted. We're enlightened. We're forgiven. We have grace. It's guaranteed. We're made holy. We have an inheritance. We are justified. We are kept. We are loved. And we have mercy. It's never ending. We are ordained. We are predestined. I bet you know, want to know where Q is coming from. Quenching. Thank you. Nothing satisfies like the Holy Spirit. Nothing. It's quenching. We are redeemed, we're set apart. It's the truth, it's unfailing. We're victorious, we're worthy. X. Xenagog. God our guide, that's our inheritance. You'll be lying awake at night thinking, whoa, Xenagog, Jesus my guide. He's the yes and amen. And He's zealous for us. Now, if I was in a Pentecostal church, they'd be shouting and singing and standing up and throwing things and saying, hallelujah. We got one hey, brilliant, and a few rumblings. That's okay, you'll get there. But you know what, when we dig deep into this passage, we look at what the spiritual blessings we have in Jesus. And we need to know who we are in Christ, because it's good news for us. And if it's good news for us, that means it's good news for other people. God is a missionary God. He wants to know who we are, the good news for us, so we can be good news to other people. And it starts with us knowing we're chosen by the Father. We're chosen by the Father God. When I was at Heaton Baptist Church, there was a guy called Frank went there. Frank was a great man. He's always seemed to be about 75. And Frank was the sort of person that always wore a tie wherever. You know, I'm sure he wore a tie in the bath, so he wore it at home. And when Frank started coming to the church, I knew that I was a lot of gaps in my discipleship. So I approached Frank and said, Frank, can you teach me? You just teach me the things of the word. Can you teach me the things of Jesus? Can you disciple me? And every Tuesday afternoon for a few years, I used to go and sit with Frank. He used to give me biscuits that his wife Christine had made, and he used to preach at me. Now that might not be for everyone, but for me, it was just a wealth. And we start with the basics, and. He started talking about this four pillars of faith, John, four pillars of faith, biblical regeneration, justification, adoption, and sanctification. He was a Scouser, you could tell by the accent, couldn't you? Biblical regeneration, justification, adoption, and sanctification. Those are the things you got to learn, John. So I learned. And he said, with all these things, we looked at adoption particularly. Why adoption? It's to have a new family and a new father, John 1 verse 12. How? It's an automatic process when we accept the Saviour. For what purpose? So we can bear the family name with honour, Galatians 4 verse 17. So we can have the protection and belong to a powerful family. Who remembers the TV series? It's years ago, I'm showing my age. Bread. Remember that? No. Great, I'll go with it anyway. But it was this family from Liverpool, and it was like the matriarch, the Ma, and then the brothers, and everything evolved around the mother saying what was what. But there was power in the family name wherever they went, particularly the DSS. Boswell. As soon as someone said that name, they knew they came from a powerful family. For those under the age of 40, sorry. Just watch the Bourne films, you'll be fine. There's power in the family that we're part of, in the name that we belong to. That's who we are. And when I heard this, all this teaching, it excited me. I've been a Christian for about 7 years, but I remember walking home, going away from Frank, walking down, seeing these little Geordie kids in Heaton, thinking, you know what? I'm the child of a king. It was as though I was walking on air. Because that's what the promises are. We're children of the living God. I'm a child of a king. With all the inheritance and all the blessings and all the promises that comes with that. It taught me that whatever happens, no one can take away who I am and what's been done for me. I'm a child of a king. There's no need to wallow in self-pity. I'm a child of God. I'm one with Jesus. I am full of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, as Christians, we can seem to forget that God is our Father. That's not surprising when we see a society growing up in a fatherless generation. It's not surprising when there are so many negative experiences of fathers. Some have little contact with their earthly father or don't even know who he is. That's a spiritual reflection too. A father who might only give us a time one day at the weekend. And some people who live in this godless, fatherless vacuum. God is not an issue. But as Christians, we have a relationship with a father who has graciously adopted us and who we can call Abba, Daddy. And we all know that we're adopted, we have that head knowledge. But there's been times in my life that I've realized and had that experience where there's a heart understanding. I remember years ago going to Romania and visiting this guy called Nicu. He had a home and he'd adopted children into his home. A bit of a similar setup to Richard Sanderson and Children's Vision International. And visiting that place, it really helped me go from a head knowledge to a heart knowledge, a revelation. He took children with hurts who were alone, that had been rejected, no hope, and he gave security, love, purpose. He probably rolled out John chapter 3, verse 16. We are adopted, we are placed in his family. And the love he has lavished upon us, blessings, abundant, extravagant, wasteful. God is our Father. We need to talk to him like it. We need to have affection for God, how we look and how we speak. We need to go to God with holy boldness. God wants to help, but will we ask? There's a story about a little boy. And he was playing in his sandpit. And he was about 3 years old, so he wasn't at school. That's why he was playing in the sandpit. And his dad was looking at outside, but he was inside, he was looking at him. And this little lad was trying to shift this rock, this massive rock in the sandpit. And he was doing all his, he was pushing and pulling, doing all might. He was getting his spade, not big spade, obviously he was only three. But he was trying to shove things away. And he was pushing, but he was getting more and more frustrated. He couldn't really work out how to do it. And then he even used his Tonka toy to try and shift this rock. He was getting more and more agitated and frustrated, and his dad was looking on. His dad came out and he said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "Oh, Dad, I'm just trying to shift this rock." He said, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, I'm using my spade, I'm just pushing, I'm pulling, I'm using all my might, I've even used my Tonka toy. But it just won't move. Dad said, "Have you done everything?" "I've done everything, Dad. I can't think of anything else." He said, "Have you asked your father?" And the father went in, picked up the rock, and all was well. See, sometimes we forget to ask the Father. Whatever we find ourselves in, whatever situations, we forget to ask the Father. So what's our response? Do we know God as Father? Do we have blockages to receiving? Maybe bad experiences, maybe a lack of forgiveness. But God is our Father, and he is enough. You are a child of a king, don't throw it away. Catherine John, can you just be ready? Is God a burden? Or is God a blessing? Knowing God should not be a burden at all. And maybe this morning, it's about coming back to the Father. For some people, it's a prodigal son experience. He came to his senses. He got up and went back. I don't watch films all the time, but here's my third reference. Everyone's seen this one. If you haven't, I don't know if you're a real Christian. The Railway Children. Whoa, that's a classic. You remember the end scene? I don't want to do a spoiler. Go and watch it. It'll be on Netflix. But the end scene where Bobby is just waiting for her father to return, and she's looking down the platform, and there's all smoke, and there's a 52-piece orchestra, which always happens to be on the train station anyway, and they're playing different things, and the smoke's subsiding, and she's just looking ahead, and she says, "Daddy, my daddy," and she bolts down to the end of the platform and runs into his arms. "Daddy, my daddy." I'm sure he responded, "Bobby, my Bobby." The same way as God this morning will be saying, "Andrew, my Andrew." "Sarah, my Sarah." "Joyce, my Joyce." He wants to embrace. He wants you to know again the blessings of the Father. He wants you to know again that he has chosen you. Jesus calls people to be with him. You find yourself in a company of three. You will never find true purpose in life outside of God the Father. You will never find true purpose outside of his Son. He is the essence of your humanity. You will never find your purpose outside of the Holy Spirit. He is the bringer of life. It was Frank Laubach who said, "The most wonderful discovery that has ever come to me is that I do not have to wait until some future time for this glorious hour. I do not have to wait for any grace. This hour can be heaven." And he talks about the way that to connect with God is like a violin connecting with the bow. Now, I grew up, my younger sister, she wanted to learn to play the violin from the age 3. Well, that was painful. I used to dread Monday afternoons at 3:15. The teacher wasn't bad, but my sister was terrible. I'm glad it didn't take off. So I've experienced the way that the violin and the bow is not played by a master. But then you get someone like Catherine. And if you noticed, it kind of sings. The violin sings. But there's that analogy, isn't it? Feeling like one who has had his violin, sorry, I can't read that, out of tune with the creation and at last is in harmony with the music of the universe. Respond to God as a violin responds to the bow of the master. I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. The Apostle Creed statement takes on a powerful meaning. I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, and he chooses me. So let's just reflect for a few moments as John and Catherine play. Maybe it's just you need the Holy Spirit once again, just to bless you, just to remind you who you are. In this time when we've been uncertain, there's been loads of things going off, isn't it good just to know God is our Father, and that's enough? This passage reminds us of that Trinity God. God the Father, his sovereignty. God the Son, his salvation. And God the Holy Spirit, his seal. We experience the sovereignty of the Father of God. We experience the salvation through the Son of God, and it is sealed by the Spirit of God. Tomorrow is Blue Monday, said to be the time that most people would take their lives, suicides. And often it's because they don't know who they are and they don't know those spiritual blessings. We don't have to experience Blue Monday. We know that we are redeemed. We know we are adopted. We know we are chosen. We know we are called. We know we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. God is our Father. That is enough. We can be confident who we are as children of the living God, and we share that then with other people. God is a missional God. He sends us out. So as now we consider communion, the good news about the death of Jesus, the blood shed for us, his body given for us. Because of his blood, I am cleansed from all sin. I'm totally forgiven. Because of his blood, I am brought near to God. I have access to the King's throne. Because of Jesus' blood, I am justified. I'm made right with God. Because of his blood, I deserved a punishment, but the price has been paid. I am redeemed. I am sanctified. I'm continually cleansed and set apart. I have peace with God, contentment and security. I'm a child of a King. Amen.